Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Men's Room podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today, online, in-store or via the app. A Bosch.
Everyone to the Men's Room, myself, Adi Oladipo, the great. It's always good to have you back. I feel like I haven't seen you for ages.
You haven't.
Rory Jennings.
You've been avoiding me.
It's been like 2 weeks, but it feels like a lot longer, doesn't it?
It's the longest it's been since I knew you. It's
2.5 years.
You've been having withdrawal symptoms.
I have. I've missed you tremendously, but it's good to have you back as well, Rory Jennings. And we're joined by pro boxer Chev Clark, unbeaten pro boxer as well. Let's give him his correct title. Great amateur record. Now you switched over to the pros. Big win on the weekend as well. Takes you to 4-0, four knockouts. And you don't waste time. I've noticed with you as well, you don't get paid for overtime, do you?
It was okay.
How quick we're talking? Hang on, I don't know the backstory here. What are you saying, Addy?
Chev went in there and decided, like, he obviously wants to go home quickly.
Okay.
Chev went in there. Go on, Chev, tell
me. Let me break it down for you. So there's a guy that one of my coaches called Obed. Now, Obed doesn't like coming out of Peckham. So when we leave Peckham, I have to make sure he gets back quickly. So, you know, that's the reason behind it.
So how long, when did the knockout take place?
Second round.
That's double quick.
No, but it was such an impressive performance as well. Like, I've been lucky enough to work on all of Chef's fights. And every time you see him after a fight, always angry, upset about his performance. Oh, he hit me. I'm like, you're in a boxing ring, Chef. Someone's going to hit you. Oh, no, he hit me. And I'm like, but this performance, I think, was his best because the opponent was a lot higher as well. This is a good opponent that's fought other good people. And Chef landed an uppercut and the guy was knocked out, but on his feet.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Knocked out, but on his feet. Like honestly, just not moving.
It's when they fall really dangerously.
Yeah. But Chef then, I was like, go on, land one more. And Chef could have, but decided to like, just call and
honorable.
Like, honorable.
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 Did you know it was over?
Yeah, as a fighter, you know when you hit somebody, you hit them clean. And I don't see the point of carrying on hitting somebody because at the end of the day, that's somebody's son, somebody's dad. Somebody's
Are you thinking that? And you're actually thinking that? Because
in my head,
some people say it's dog eat dog, kill will be killed. You're thinking that.
Killed already, isn't it? Yeah. It's done.
It's true.
Yeah, it's done. Like, it's done. If you're having an altercation and somebody's on the floor, you wouldn't.
Continue.
Well, I wouldn't. Do you know what I mean? Mm, so it's the same principle for me. Like,
it's a very noble sport, boxing, isn't it? It's funny because it's got such a, it's so violent. And yet there are so many honourable rules that it stems, like all that Kingsbury stuff, like it stems from tradition and being very respectful of one another, doesn't it?
I agree, yeah.
But
yeah.
Considering that it's so violent, it's weird that those two worlds mirror up.
It's beautiful violence and, it's like anything. Once you know you can do something, you don't need to show off about it.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, the man's already...
And I guess there is that respect, right? You know how difficult it is to get in the ring and do what you do. Mm. So there's a respect that, okay, he's done the same thing.
Mm.
Or she's done the same thing, exactly. So you can show respect. Big plans for 2023? What are we looking at? An area title, English title? What's the plan?
Listen, anything those guys call at me,
I'm
up for it.
You're in a tough division. Cruiserweight's a big division.
It's
land of the Giants. Land of the Giants. Every cruiserweight's like 6'4", 6'5". They're
really?
Big.
6 foot.
Yeah.
5'11".
6 foot.
Oh my God. I'm claiming 6 foot.
6 foot.
Okay.
Six foot.
By that logic, I'm 5'10". Don't worry about it.
But no, good luck with 2023. No doubt it's going to prove good for you. Good amateur background. You're showing now that you can handle yourself in the pros. And I think it's going to be a good year. So good luck to it. I want to talk about your physical health. Obviously, look, you're in great shape, right? You always look in great shape, right? Abs and triceps and biceps. Physically, aside from boxing, how do you keep yourself in shape? Are you in the gym sort of 4 or 5 times a week?
When I'm in camp, yeah, most definitely. When I'm not in camp, relax a little bit. But I'm always, as a kid, I was always active. Yeah. I just love being out and, you know, whether it was running around, climbing trees and all that. But now, you know, it's a little bit more formal in terms of going to the gym, doing training, etc. But yeah, always doing something to help, because not only physically, but it helps me mentally.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting, because I think you're the same as well. Like Rory always says he's got to do football a couple of days a week. Like you have to.
Oh yeah, it's the anchor. It's the anchor. Yeah. Whatever else is going on, I'll always make sure I have at least one game of football a week, just to sort of reset. And whatever else has gone on, however busy you are, it's that one time where I can strictly think about only playing football. Like, you know, even now, right now, I could be having this conversation, finding it really interesting, but thinking, dear God, I got a tax bill, or like something else going on. Whereas when I play football, it's the one time that I can just sort of focus and forget every other responsibility I have and just play football.
You're so right. I mean, when I was younger, I used to play football. That was my thing. Like, football was my first love. I fell into boxing, but football was my first love. And when you're on the pitch, or whether you're in the ring, nothing else in the world matters. In that moment, nothing else in the world matters. And it's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's a nice release, isn't it?
But I guess with boxers, though, it's different, right? Because you've got fight camps where I'm guessing you are fully focused, right? That 6 week or 8 week fight camp is. But what outside of the fight camp, though? How is it different outside of the fight camp? Are you still fully focused, or is it a bit more relaxed, a bit more chilled?
You're always focused, because whether it be training in the camp, when you're out of it, you've still got to be disciplined in terms of what you eat and making sure you're getting the right nutrients, etc. But when you're fully training, it's just, well, for me anyway, it's fully focusing and making sure you're doing the right disciplines, getting the right techniques in, etc., etc. So, it's always focus, fully on focus. When you're outside, though, you can do other things. Like, I used to love playing football to take your mind off of it. Because if you're just boxing all the time, it gets boring. And it's not good for you. You need to take your mind away to then, when you come back, you're sharp. You're like, okay, boom, 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 I've done this.
You know, can you do that now, though? Or is it presumably you can't risk injuries from playing football?
No, I can't. Which so then I have to find something else to do.
What is your other thing? Like, how do you switch off from boxing? Do you switch off?
I do. I'm actually a geek. It's cool to be a geek, right? I'm putting it out there. But no, I like numbers. So I've while I was on my time at Team GB, GB Boxing, I started reading financial literacy books, and I started getting into that, researching the Warren Buffett's.
Really?
Yeah. I love it. I read all his books, bro. And I know I'm so much of a geek that I created an algorithm.
Okay.
So I've created an algorithm that helps me find companies to research and invest into. So there's certain things I'll be looking for when I'm looking to invest into a company, and the algorithm helps me find these things. Then I go and do more research.
This is an amazing twist. I didn't expect this. So boxing is the priority, but you've also got sort of a side interest, a side hustle of investment.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Because
Warren Buffett, I can't believe that Warren Buffett has come up in this conversation. I never expected it to go this way.
Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, Manish Pravrat, really? All them guys, read all their books.
Gosh. And is that done with, are you thinking already about post-boxing?
Yeah.
Are you, yeah?
Yeah.
That's interesting, because they always say when you've got that, even a toe out of boxing, it's a dangerous thing, right? That's what they say, whether or not it's true or not, but they say once you're not 100% thinking of boxing, you've got a toe out of it, it's almost like, ooh. You know, like
sensible sounds to me, Addy.
Sounds sensible. Very sensible. Well,
you see, all the footballers—they've all got side industries now. All of the footballers, like you've got this geezer's doing a campaign for whatever clothing brand. This geezer created his own clothing brand. Jesse Lingard's doing his own thing. I think you've got to have other interests and other things.
Yeah, that's. I mean, as I said, that developed while I was on GB Boxing, and it's just gone on and on. But you know, we've seen a history with predominantly boxers. They've made so much money, and then at the end of their career, they're broke. So, like, if I've seen all of that and I go and do the same thing, that would make me double silly, wouldn't it?
Does it help your mental health? Because I always feel like with you guys at Team GB, especially because you're talking the crop, the creme de la creme, right? You're top. Mm-hmm. And look at Team GB that went to the Olympics and how successful it was. Does it help your mental state that you can do that and then switch off? Because I feel like with what you do right now, it's so focused and so geared to best nutrition, best athletes. You've got to do your social media. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. Can you then just switch off? And does it help you switch off when you do your stuff that you're doing?
Yeah, most definitely. And I refer back to while I was on program, we was training 3 times a day.
So you'd be what's the program? What do you mean the program?
On Team GB. Boxing, okay. Yeah. So you get up 7 o'clock, you weigh in, 7:30 on the track. You do your session. You go back, eat breakfast, have a little rest. 10:30, 11:30, next session, go back, eat.
Really?
Then you go back, you do your third session, most likely sparring or depending what day it is, weight training. And then your evening, you rest. Some people would go out and eat. And then I just managed to come across it and read, you know.
So is it that regimented? When you're in camp like that, mm-hmm. it's that structured every day?
That's it.
And are they, in terms of the food that you eat, are they sorting that out? Is it all very scripted?
I mean, there's a nutritionist. I've always been good with my nutrition, so I never needed him. But yeah, some people use him.
Right. I didn't realise that it was so diligent.
I guess that's why they're so successful.
It's the best program.
That's why they are, you know, up there with, I guess they passed the States trying to catch Cuba. That's what it is, right?
By far, one of the best programs in the world.
Really? And in terms of people coming out of it and going on to successful careers, are we churning them out through that?
Yeah, I think so. You look at some of the guys that are coming out now and some of the girls that are coming out now as well, Olympic gold medalists that everyone's expecting to go on and dominate. Yeah. That's my point. That's where the pressure comes. Because now everyone's expecting, like when we were commentating on your fight on the weekend, and everyone's like, okay, they need to fast track Chev. Mm-hmm. They need to fast track Pat McCormack. They need to fast track your fight. Like, how do you sort of handle that pressure of everyone now expects you to go on and not just win area titles? And like, it'd almost be a failure if you don't go on.
When you
and
say
win
fast track, Ad, what do you mean? Do you mean like Chev gets thrown into,
misses someone the English level and goes straight international level? That's what they want from all these guys.
You're suddenly in there with somebody who's mustard.
Very good.
Yeah.
Or mustard, as you would say.
And is that what you're up for? Like, do you fancy that?
Yeah, because I fought the best in the world. I'm not being funny, but the way I see it, and I don't know if it's fact, but I'd say the Olympic level boxers are better than most of 70%, 80% of professional boxers. Like, these guys, the guys are unbelievable. Like, the only difference is we only box for 3 rounds. As an Olympic athlete. But then when you turn it over to the pro, if you just adjust the training to go the longer rounds, it'd be easy. Like, if the Cubans were able to turn over,
you think they'd be cleaning
to see
up?
What, I don't know if they'd clean up
but they're scary.
But they are good. Scary, yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
What's it been like for you, that switch from sort of Team GB, as you say, where it's been so structured, and it's been, everything's almost been like not written down for you, but as you said, you wake up, you do this, you go track. What's it been like now as a pro, where are you handling it yourself? Do you have a team behind you that makes it as structured as well, or is it similar?
I've adapted it. So the difference is when you're on GB Boxing, you're an athlete and it's a sport. Now it's a business. So you're the CEO.
AJ said that.
You're the CEO. So you've got to plan everything and employ the right people to make sure your ship runs as smooth as possible. And I've adapted the same or as close as I can to what I had at GB.
Okay.
Because if it works, if it's successful, I might as well adapt it.
But I guess there's more than that now, right? I mean, with Team GB, it doesn't matter how many social media followers you have, doesn't matter how many bums on seats. None of that counts as an amateur. As a pro, you've got to have the social media following now, unfortunately. You've got to put bums on seats. Some might even say you've got to be controversial. We were just talking off air about Dillian White and his fight recently. That must add extra pressure, knowing that now you've got to be more than just a good boxer. Being a good boxer isn't really going to put bums on seats.
That is true. But with me personally, I'll just always be myself. Mm. I'll never, ever do something just because that person thinks it's cool, this person thinks it's cool.
Is that a dangerous strategy, do you think? Some sports are a complete meritocracy. If you're, if you're the best footballer in the world, you will be a household name, a millionaire. You will play for whoever if you are the best footballer in the world. Whereas I think that you can get a situation with boxing where potentially the best fighter doesn't get the biggest fight. Like Logan Paul, for example, isn't the biggest, isn't the best boxer, but he's arguably going to have some of the biggest fights.
No, I think you're right. And if we're going to talk about boxers, let's use real boxers in terms of like Rigondeaux.
Yeah.
Rigondeaux, amazing boxer, man.
Cuban.
Yeah.
Cuban.
Okay, as an example, the chap, Addie, what's his name? The young, really handsome boy out of the States.
Ryan Garcia.
Because he plays a game. He's a social media influencer, yeah, almost.
He almost is the, for a promoter, he's almost perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He's what they want because he does the Instagram, social media stuff, but he can fight.
Mm-hmm. Would you play that game at all? Do you try, do you think that it's relevant?
I think people, if you're good at it, do it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, yeah, it's like when people say, oh, these YouTube boxers, blah, 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 blah. Like, I understand it, but I understand that it's a business as well. And I do understand that if those people, if you had 25 million people following you and you could get 20,000 of them on a seat and just by boxing, you would do it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just about being realistic and also knowing that, okay, listen, I'm good at this or I can do this or not. Do you know what I mean? I'll never sit there for ages think, oh, I gotta post this or try and make something fake. Whatever I do is always authentic. So if you see me post it, it's authentic. I don't pretend to
you
do
won't that. Amplify it though.
No.
And what about pressers? Would you do it in a presser?
No. I'm just myself. I'll forever be Chev. I'll never change.
It's funny though, because some fighters are like that. You go back and some fighters, it was just themselves that sold themselves. Nigel Benn never tried to do anything, it's just him.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson.
I'll never be a Mike Tyson, but to this day, people are still quoting Mike Tyson things. Whether it was controversial.
Very, very authentic.
Yeah. Everyone's authentic. Got a plan until you get punched in the face.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just being me. If you like me, you'll like me. I prefer that people like me and come and support me, but why should I be a fraud for you to come and watch me?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? But I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
Chev, on this journey from, obviously, look, you came from Jamaica at what, 10?
Yeah, 10, 11.
10, 11. This journey to where you are now as a pro boxer, you must have had some big ups and downs. Like, I speak to a lot of boxers and a lot of them are like stopped boxing, right? They didn't understand the pathways. Maybe there was issues with Team GB. I speak to a lot of boxers who say Team GB has its favorites. Talk to us mentally about some of your journeys, ups and downs to get to where you are now.
There's been plenty.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes people successful. If you're just smooth, plainly and successful, how do you know how great you are? Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, it was when I first started boxing, I had trials in 2011-12 to go on to GB. I got to the last three. They didn't choose me. You need to be last two to get onto the team.
Yeah.
I didn't get chosen. I went home. I was disappointed. I told my coach I'm not boxing again. He then goes, oh, you're Jamaican? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, no problem. 2 weeks later, he calls me, go, we're going to Jamaica. Paid for it, got me sponsored. We went to Jamaica. I fought in the championships. Then I qualified to fight for Jamaica in the Commonwealth Games. 2014, Glasgow, Commonwealth Games. First fight, lost. Disappointed. The biggest stage, imagine. The biggest stage I ever boxed on. Embarrassed myself. Embarrassed myself.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't perform bad, but I lost. So to me, it was embarrassing. And then I had to go back home and face all my friends. I thought it was just a nightmare. So I stopped boxing. And then I started low driving. Low driver for 2 years.
You stopped boxing for 2 years?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Were you training still? Were you still? No.
Bro, I was 81 when I stopped boxing. Which was light heavyweight. 2 years driving lows. Listen, I was at your local B&Qs, most likely, right? I never worked for B&Q, but I had to drive and deliver to them, home bases, all that. But anyway, throughout the time, my friends, they just nagged me. You're a waste of space. You're a waste of time, waste of talent. I was like, listen, man, okay, cool. I'll fight. I'll come back.
Wait. How much did you get up to in weight? From 81 kilos to what?
91.
Okay, that's not that bad, Jeff.
That's 10 kilos, man.
That's nothing, Jeff. I put it on in a week.
Yeah. Oh, no, okay. It's an awful lot.
Give me a brewery and night out.
Yeah. It's a boxer's mentality, that, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll put this in at 120.
81? I think I weigh more than that now. I'm half your size.
No, but, yeah, so.
For an athlete, that's a lot. Like 10
kilos. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So, 12 kilos or whatever. And then in 2016, I finally gave up. I was like, okay, I'll have one more fight. Came back, had the fight, and then at the end of it, I thought I was going to go back to my lorry drive, and my coach goes, oh, you know the championship, so in 2 weeks, make sure you're ready. And I was like, oh, had the championships, and I'd never won the open ABAs, the elite ABAs. I don't won the under 10 fights, under 20 fights, never won the open ABAs, and I fought Chris Billingsmith in the final.
Okay.
And I beat Chris Billingsmith in the final. Then
he's a very good cruiserweight right now.
Mate, your coach is a hero. He's kept believing in you all the times where you've said no. He's kept on.
Yeah, my friends predominantly. But then the next year, no, sorry, I got onto got trials for GB boxing. I got onto the team. Just went from there. Then my first year on the team, 2017, first year on GB, got to a tournament final, fought the Olympic champion from 2016. And I beat him, but they didn't give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know you guys did. Can I tell you my
boiling? It's the lights in here, isn't it? Always. Hey, oh no! Shot? Put it back on. I didn't know that was under there. Put it back on. No.
You thought it was a Jamaican.
Put the top back on.
Yeah.
We're top of the league in that, mate. But so you know, first year was good. Then I got selected to go to the European Championships. European Championships again. Fight him in the final. That was closer. But yeah, my time on GB just went from there. And then obviously just went on. Went to the Commonwealth Games in the Gold Coast, Australia. Got bronze there. And then just went from there.
Do you, boxers, like a lot of sports stars now talk about therapy, right? They speak to people. It's actually quite a normal thing now for footballers to actually speak to people. I was watching an interview with Gary Neville and Virgil van Dijk, and he said, like, I speak to someone on a regular. Mm-hmm. Do boxers speak to people? Do they... Is that even a thing? Because it's like a tough man sport, right? Is it even a thing to want to speak to someone if things aren't going well?
You know, I'm gonna be honest here. So on Team GB, you have a psychologist, right? And her job is to make sure everybody's all right. There's no pressure on you to speak to her or him. And for the whole time I was there, this lady tried to speak to me. I weren't having none of it. I'm cool. Yeah. I'd go, this is what would happen. Oh, Chef, you're coming to talk today? For an hour, we're meant to talk. Go in, we start talking. I'll answer a couple of questions. Are you all right? Blah, blah, blah. Then I'd start interviewing her.
Yeah.
But like, how's your life going? How's things going? Everything good with your husband? You know what I mean? For 5 years, bro. But then the last year, I had a little bit of stuff going on at home and it was a bit mad. But then I did speak to her, do you know what I mean? And it's good to speak to people. Like, there's always somebody you can speak to, do you know what I mean? You might feel like, oh, I can't speak to that person, or I can't speak to this. But there's always somebody, somebody out there.
And there's always that moment, right? Because you were, as you say, she was there for 5 years. And for 5 years, you were like, yeah, I don't really need this. But that one time where you did need it, she was there.
It's a safety net.
It's a safety net, isn't
it? Also, I think sometimes, even if you don't want to speak, just knowing that there is somebody you can speak to is enough. Yes. You know, if that person didn't exist, if that person wasn't there for you, you may at some point in that 5 years have thought, I could really do with a chat. But just knowing that you can have a chat sometimes means that you don't need to enforce it.
100%. And on the other side as well, I'll tell you, I'm a weirdo. Sometimes if I think of somebody, I'll just phone them. It don't matter if I haven't spoken to you for 10 years. Like, yo, what's going on, man? You just popped into my head. And sometimes people are like, he's on the phone. But honestly, if somebody remembers you, like, it's amazing, isn't it? As humans, we all crave the same thing. Every human craves this one thing, and it's attention. Every human being craves that one thing. So just to, like, phone somebody and just to check on them, you never know what it might do for their day.
Nice to know that there's a lot of support at Team GB like that. It's nice to know that there is that. And it just shows you, doesn't it?
Every single box.
If it's there, if it's there for people that have opted into, the people that they are catering for there, it's like hard men.
Yeah.
Like, it's like geezers that can have some. like if they're, yeah,
they're the hardest of the hardest.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they need it, or if they feel like it's there for them, then it's there for everyone.
Then everybody's going to need
that. Was there any people that are like, you don't have to mention names, but there anyone on the team that's like, I ain't doing that. Don't need that.
No, but no, because it was more of a privacy thing.
Okay.
So it's not like, if somebody is, you know, so she'd approach you on a private thing, you know, because data protection.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you wouldn't let anybody know.
Right.
That's the whole point of it. So yeah, it's very good. And yeah, as I said, just speak to people, man.
And when you needed it was very supportive when you that final year.
Yeah, yeah. Very, like, honestly, the guys up there are amazing, man. The amount of support I got. Like, not just from boxing. This is the good thing about it. It's not just boxing because you're boxing or you need help for boxing. Anything in your life that is going on, they have a resource for it and they will help you out with it.
You know, there are some boxers that, unfortunately, I'm happy to mention his name, for example, Campbell Hatton, some boxers that get it online. Like, honestly, every time he fights, and especially if I'm working on the fight, I go onto social media and it's bad. It's very bad, right? And I don't know how he deals with it mentally. You haven't yet seen anything like that. Like, most of your things have been pretty good, right? Chev looked really good. Chev's this. Like, when I say, you know, if your name's trending, it's because of a good thing. On the weekend, your name was trending, it was because of the knockout. Have you had any instances where it has been negative, though? And if so, how have you dealt with it?
To be honest, I don't really look at social media.
Yeah. Can you switch it off here? Can you do that? Can you switch it off?
No, I just don't look at it. Yeah. Like, they're there. It doesn't mean I have to look at it. But that's just my thing, because I'm very late to social media in terms of, like, Twitter. My Twitter experience is, like, 5 years, bro. I just came onto it. So I like people. I'm a people person. I like being... But when I'm on it, I do have a social media agent who helps me out, and she'll be like, oh, they said this today, and I'm like, sometimes you do think
about almost filters away the negative or tell
no she'll tell me what's going on. She'll be like, oh, you're trending here, or this is happening, or somebody said this today, and they'll be angry for me. Do you know what I mean? But I'm just like, well, you know what, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and it's just for us to know that their opinion isn't fact.
I remember your second fight. Was it your second fight where you got tagged?
No, I didn't get tagged. See,
you got tagged.
I didn't get tagged.
I'm not going to argue with a boxer.
I didn't get tagged.
It's up on me.
I
had to check Chris Lloyd on this stuff there.
I didn't get tagged.
No, I know what you're saying. Go on.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is that I remember some people online, because they're so quick. You know what people are like? Ah, Chev ain't he's rubbish. And it's like, what? 1 second, that's his first or second fight.
Yeah.
That's crazy. How do you do all that? Or do you not even look at it? You got your team that just kind of move it away.
Again, bro.
But you didn't get tagged though, but.
Yeah. If you did, if you did get tagged. All hypothetically now.
I don't react to people's opinions, man. I think I've been fortunate to grow up with the reinforcement of self-belief and and just always believing in yourself and just stay true to you.
I think that's, look, I'm not going to argue with you, Chef, but I think that's easy now. Mm-hmm. But as you go further into your career, mm-hmm. like fingers crossed we're here in a year's time and you're 10-0 mm-hmm. or 15-0 or whatever, and you've won a couple of titles, mm-hmm. it's going to be very difficult to ignore it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very difficult to even... I see boxers that win fights, mm-hmm. good fights, and they, you know, they could have a little wobble of their feet in a fight, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden people jump on them, like, you
people
know.
Who've never been in, people like me, never been in a ring. Yeah, he's can't useless, do a press bro. Up. This geezer can't fight.
Bro, you see it with football. Yeah. You see it. Yeah. You know what I mean? The man, they ain't never been on a pitch, yeah. but they know everything. So, you know, again, you know, I'll have to deal with it as it comes, but hopefully it don't happen.
What about, you know, you mentioned there, so somebody like Campbell Hatton gets it in the neck, oh, online,
mate.
Do you know him? Have you worked? And have you ever asked him? Like, does it affect him at all? Is it something that he's bothered by, or something that he can just switch off from?
It's clearly something he's bothered by because he's a young guy. I think Campbell Hatton's only 21, mm-hmm. I think 22 maybe. He's a young guy. It clearly bothers him. But this is the career that he's chosen, mm-hmm. and he understands. I think the positives of having the Hatton name, mm-hmm. yeah. but also what comes with it. It's the same with Eubank, that name, Ben. Sort of when you're following your father's footsteps, there's going to be a problem. But at the same time, it opens up doors.
Do you know what, though? I think the difference between being a boxer and a footballer, if you're a boxer, that's what I mean. Like, as a footballer, maybe you're sort of protected and online hate could be an issue for you. Whereas as a boxer, that's going to be the last thing on your mind, isn't it? Because, all right, the online hate's not ideal, but this geezer's trying to kill me, so I'm probably going to focus on this for now.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Yeah, that's true. But when you're fighting, it's after the fight you're talking, right?
Yeah.
Mm. So when you're preparing for the fight or in the fight, you ain't really worried about that, but it's after. And you have to remember, some people are like social media addicts, man.
Yeah.
They're like on it all the time and they're like, this person said that or this person.
He's like, you know what I mean? Seriously, this geezer like checks his own name on there.
No, right? But I do know people who have been affected by it, and it's not nice to see, man.
Yeah.
It's not nice.
I was watching a podcast with Steph Curry. I don't know if you know Steph Curry. Yeah. Plays for Golden State Warriors, arguably one of the best basketball players of all time. He was talking about, he actually checks his phone at halftime to see what people are saying about him.
No way.
And I'm like, Steph Curry, you're the greatest shooter of all time, one of the great. And that's
got to be a distraction. That can't be good for
him. It might be motivation. If they're talking bad about you.
That's what he said. He says he uses it as a weird motivation.
The trouble is, though, you're going to see something else. You know, when you pick your phone up, so you're going to get that, but you're also going to have something from your missus going, can you get eggs on your way home? You're going to be like, hang on a minute, I can't. I've got hoops to shoot. It can't be ideal.
Yeah.
It's a crazy time we're in, but It's enjoyable at the same time.
As we wrap, Chef, how have you handled the switch from amateur to pros? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm actually
a different
thoroughly
animal, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying. No, the animal's always been there. It's just
means of like contracts and talking money and it's all you know. You want to be first.
Are
on
you
the
protected?
Show.
You know when you move. You know when you make the leap. It does somebody take you into an agency? Is there like a
you're just in the world on
your own?
What did I say to you earlier on? CEO, bro.
Yeah,
you're the one that handles everything.
Yeah, but
so
you make the decisions, but you presume you have an agent.
Yeah. But not everybody does that,
right?
Not everybody has somebody that knows the legal, the little loopholes, or whatever.
Chev's in a position where he's quite lucky because he's come from Team GB. There is a name value to him.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that don't have the amateur background that turn pro and they are, it's the wild, wild west.
Oh.
They're by yourself, yeah.
It's like shark waters.
Is it really?
Bro. You're cut and it's shark waters, trust me. There's everybody trying to take. Nobody want to give you your value. If in the real world, nobody gives you your value in boxing, you definitely ain't getting your value. That's a fact.
But you're happy with your setup and whatever else. It's gone okay.
I'm blessed, man. No, when I think about it, five years ago I was driving a lorry. 6 years ago I was a lorry driver.
It's always a good thing to remember that, isn't it? Like, yeah. I think Addy and I have had conversations on this podcast before. We've had our moments previously as well and got very lucky, touch wood. Yeah. I think it really I'm actually doing it. Sorry.
How much wood is
it? But it does, it keeps you grounded, doesn't it? It keeps you in the right place.
I'm very, very, very grounded, man, because as I said, there's a lot of people that are not in worse situations than myself. You know what I mean? Being a lorry driver. Listen, I enjoyed my lorry, right? Because I could just pull up anywhere and just chill on the side of the road. But to be doing this now and and on people's screens and providing entertainment for people.
Oh, and you entertained on Saturday.
Thank you.
Saturday. Knockout. Jeez, that might be knockout of the year, you know. That the way to knock someone out on their feet like that, where they don't know where they are, that's impressive. Before you wrap, one thing that you'll change about boxing, what would you change if you had that power? If you're like the world governing body, what would you change about the sport?
Two things.
Oh, two, okay.
I'd make sure there is some form of governing body that protects the athlete coming into boxing.
Mm. Like the PFA.
Yeah.
And then also, I would make sure that all promoters...
Eddie, are you listening?
All promoters, there's a, like a pension system.
Mm.
So whenever the athlete fights...
10%, 5%, whatever.
Yeah, whatever they make, the pension takes 5-10% of all their fights. And then when they finish, they get that.
They get the lump.
Yeah, because it's awful to see fighters coming towards the end and having to then chase that fight, that big money fight, when they're clearly not ready to fight. Exactly. But they need that one last paycheck, right? And you see it, and you see it. Dangerous, and they say boxing retires fighters rather than fighters retiring from boxing.
Mm. I'm going to fight back at you. Anything you would change about boxing?
Oh, mate, how long have we got? No, almost a bit what Rory said about meritocracy, where if you're the best fighter, there should be a case of, well, you get paid the best. Any other sport, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with boxing, it really doesn't work like that. You know, it's the guy that puts the bums on seats.
Yeah.
You know, and fighters having to sell tickets.
Yeah.
We see it right now with Johnny Fisher. Like, if you can sell as many tickets as you can, then there's a good opportunity for you. So I'd like to see fighters get more opportunity. Always want to see fighters get paid more because I think it's the most dangerous sport in the world. I honestly do believe it's I've sparred and I thought I was going to die.
I'll go to KO Box, right? This place on Baker Street, and I do boxing, but nobody's hitting me. I'm knackered. I'm like, I ain't doing this again. And nobody's even hitting me. Yeah. Like, I'm sort of just doing the thing and skipping, and I'm thinking, oh God, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah.
I'm sod doing that with somebody walloping you.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I do think, finally, I think there should be that. That's almost comfort blanket of going from amateur to pro. Mm-hmm. That should be a soft landing. Not like, oh, there you go. Yeah. Good luck. Do you know what I mean? Go and find a sponsor. Go and find a promoter and a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. Someone should do all that for you. And that you just concentrate on boxing. But good luck, Chef. Honestly, 4-0.
Good luck, Chef. Thanks for coming on, man.
And next time, don't come on that top, though.
Yeah.
This is a Chelsea. Yeah,
a yellow card,
and this is a Liverpool fan.
Can I just say something?
I get that you're the pro boxer.
Wait, what you want, guys?
I get that you're the pro boxer, but this is our show.
I'm going to finish on this. Respect your leaders, okay?
By the way, this was filmed November 28th.
Yeah. By the time this comes out, Arsenal third in the league.
You will not. Chef, what's your social media handles? Where can people find you?
At C4CHEV on all social media platforms.
So you got a hoodie there. You didn't bring anything for us? No hoodies, no t-shirts?
You know what, bro?
No. Go on, 1 second.
My assistant's there. She'll tell you.
I have to pay for them, innit? Is that what it is? We have to pay for them,
But they all got sold out.
Oh, wow.
I had to reload 3 times, bro. I appreciate all the guys coming out to support. I appreciate it. All my team C4 gang.
When are you out next?
We ain't got a date, but
February maybe. I've got the dates of all the fights.
I'm that guy now.
Yeah.
Hopefully, before
Mr.
then.
The Zone. Oh.
That's an exclusive here. That's February.
I've got the dates. February 12th. Really appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Men's Room. Rory, as always.
Loved it. Thank you so much for coming on, mate.
Appreciate you, guys.
Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this. I want to call it a special episode with Chef Clark. Fantastic boxer. Make sure you go and check him out on your social medias. Make sure you download this episode as well, wherever you download your episodes from. And make sure, if you're like me, that you like watching episodes, go to TalkSport's YouTube channel where you can watch this one as well.
ToolStation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room podcast on TalkSport. Join the ToolStation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with ToolStation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the ToolStation Club, so make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.